It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The movie theater industry has not returned to the heights it reached before the COVID-19 pandemic. But this summer's blockbusters, the movies that draw people to the big screen, have been a boon for some theaters in Wisconsin.
Milwaukee-based Marcus Theaters announced a big jump in its box office receipts last month, reporting the most revenue of any June in the company's 91-year history.
The company credited the success to the popularity of new blockbusters, like Toy Story 5.
Woody!
Jesse, hello?
Is it as bad out there for toys as they say it is?
And the breakout horror films, Backrooms and Obsession.
Jeez, what kind of spell did you put on her?
We're checking in on how Wisconsin movie theaters are faring so far this year and why this year's top films are attracting moviegoers.
Susan Kearns is executive director of Milwaukee Film, the nonprofit independent theater company that operates the Oriental Theater and the Downer Theater on the city's north side and runs the Milwaukee Film Festival. Susan, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Your annual Milwaukee Film Festival attendance saw another increase this year with nearly 37,000 people participating in the 15-day festival. Have you seen similar growth with your other programming this year?
We have, actually. It's been just a tremendous year, really a rebound year for movie theaters. Our attendance so far has up about 20% year over year in our day-to-day cinema going.
What do you attribute to this being a rebound year?
Honestly, I think it's great movies. We have many more movies this year coming out of Hollywood that people want to see. And that has been kind of a long recovery road since the pandemic for a variety of reasons. But this year we had like Project Hail Mary, which was incredibly popular with audiences, just a very easy film to watch and enjoy. And then we had some surprises like Obsession, which is a low budget horror film that turned out to have these incredible legs. So people have been coming back and coming back and coming back, especially Gen Z audiences, to see that film.
We've also seen a number of sequels, thinking like Toy Story 5, Devil Wears Prada 2. Are we seeing better overall film quality this year, or is there nostalgia with sequels going on?
I think there's always nostalgia with sequels, and definitely something like Devil Wears Prada 2 taps into that audience. But the other thing that that film does well is it really becomes a bonding experience for like groups of women who are coming out to see that film together, having like a specialty cocktail and really making a night of it. And so that's one of the reasons that that film did so well. The Toy Story franchise is kind of a separate thing just because they have always had such high quality films. So that film has been a record breaker. It's a surprise when a part five does better than a part four. But that's really been just a massive hit this summer. And I think everybody loves Toy Story. Like I saw the first Toy Story movie in college, and I want to go see Toy Story 5. And certainly, you know, people with younger kids, so many generations have a relationship with those characters.
You can build programming around these films, but how much are you at the mercy of Hollywood and whether or not they produce popular movies that people want to see?
It's a bit of both, because you can definitely eventize a film, but you're absolutely right that if there is a film that comes out of Hollywood that everybody thinks is going to be great and just does not perform the way they think that it's going to, there's not a lot that the theaters can necessarily do to drive those audiences. Because as you know, sometimes the online discourse takes on a life of its own around a film. When we have, because we're an independent movie theater or two movie theaters, when we have those situations, we are really able to dip into, you know, repertory screenings. We've had some great screenings of things like Fellini recently. And so we can kind of dip back and forth, but it really is very, very helpful for our business when these amazing productions are coming out of Hollywood.
You also screen these independent, these foreign films, restorations. What interest are you seeing for these type of offerings?
Honestly, the interest in those is just, again, accelerating. Gen Z has really embraced the in-person movie-going experience. Part of it is that they want places to hang out. They want experiences that take them away from their phones. And so they may come with a group of friends to, you know, see a film that might have been a film that was popular when I was younger, but now they're coming out to see it with their friends or their families and enjoying that experience again. For example, just because I was talking about it yesterday, we sold out a screening of Gremlins late last year. And obviously that has like a holiday bent, but it's, you know, the theater was packed. We had to turn people away because so many people wanted to see Gremlins.
Going to the theater, though, it can be expensive, especially for a family. There's the tickets, there's the popcorn, there's the drinks, the snacks. It really can add up. How do you try to make the movie-going experience something that is affordable and worth paying for?
Well, I would say at Milwaukee Film, we're a little bit different in that the theater itself is an experience. If you've never been to the Historic Oriental Theater, it's truly unparalleled. I would say it's one of the most beautiful, if not the most beautiful movie theater in the nation. So just going to a historic cinema is a different kind of experience for people. We also work really hard to keep our prices affordable. So our popcorn, our soda, our candy, all of those things are actually, we're pricing that in mind for affordability for a family of four. Similarly, our ticket prices, we make sure to have discounts for senior citizens, for veterans, for educators. So I think more movie houses are thinking about those things because we want people of all income levels to be able to come out and enjoy films.
I want to pull back the curtain here for a moment. Paramount has committed to producing at least 30 movies a year, each with a 45-day exclusive theatrical window before they go to streaming. How important is that exclusivity for theaters like yours?
Honestly, it's so important because we know that audiences will come out to a theater because they want to have that experience of the big screen with an audience. Even if it's in a theater for a week before it's on streaming, we will see a big audience for those films. So for example, Netflix does not prioritize theatrical, but when we're able to get their films like Frankenstein or a Knives Out film, people will show up and be very enthusiastic. But as soon as these films are widely available streaming, people feel like they have access to them kind of all the time. And so the urgency goes away. Whereas with something like Toy Story or even The Odyssey, which is coming out soon, people want to be part of that conversation. They want to know, you know, what happens in Toy Story or experience with their family. They want to be able to talk about The Odyssey or about Obsession. And when it's not available on streaming, you have to go to the movie theater to be able to have that conversation.
Susan, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Susan Kearns is executive director of Milwaukee Film. She was with us to discuss attendance trends from her nonprofit organization's movie theaters. Now we're turning our attention to the films that are drawing Wisconsin moviegoers out to the theaters. Jocelyn Sapaniak-Galise is associate professor and director of film studies at UW-Milwaukee. Jocelyn, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Kate. It's just an absolute pleasure to be here.
Are you surprised to see movie theater revenue increasing in this age of streaming, even if many are still below their pre-pandemic numbers?
I am a little surprised, but it's a most marvelous and welcome surprise. I think that for me personally, it's not quite as shocking as it might be for others, and that's for a couple reasons. First of all, I'm a scholar of exhibition history and of movie going, so I know that there have always been these ups and downs throughout the course of the industry's history. So even when it seems like cinema is down and out and never coming back, there always is a bit of a resurgence. So I can always kind of notice these historical patterns happening. But the other reason is that I teach Gen Z in my classroom, and they absolutely love watching movies together. So I think that maybe the vast majority of the industry is actually just keeping up with what young people have kind of shown that they really, really want.
What is it that they want about this movie-going experience?
I think a lot of them are pretty aware that they've been sold a bad bill of goods in terms of the isolating effects of digitality. So even though, you know, we have these vast array of choices, we can kind of select anything we want at any moment in time. Well, of course, that's an illusion. It's not anything, but that is part of the illusion that we're sold. What we're lacking then is this experience of being together with others and getting to have a defined, immersive, aesthetic moment with strangers that we might not necessarily ever interact with otherwise. That is a really, really wonderful and often actually kind of profound experience. And I think young people are really starting to recognize that.
So the two highest grossing films at the U.S. box office so far this year have been sequels to very popular franchises, with the Super Mario Galaxy movie and then Toy Story 5. Is this just a case of good timing for theaters to have both films come out in the first half of 2026? I mean, I know we're riding kind of the waves here, but what about timing?
Yeah, I think it is a little bit of it is luck, right?
Okay.
And Toy Story movies, they are successful all the time. Across the board, Toy Story is going to be a massive success. I teach a class on the history of animation, and every time I teach it, I tell my students, we're not watching any Toy Story movies because you'll all just dissolve into quivering masses of tears. And I don't need that. I need your critical faculties. So I think that's just kind of always successful. But I know my little nephews went to see Super Mario Galaxy. That is always kind of huge. I think it's a little bit lucky that those occurred. I think we can point to luck a little bit in terms of looking at the success of movies like Obsession and Backrooms, which really, that has just blown everybody's mind. So I think it's hard to attribute it, to attribute this increase in revenue entirely to the practice of franchises, or entirely to the genre of horror, right? There's something else going on that's, I think, about being together in a movie theater.
But you bring up the horror films that got so much buzz with Obsession and then Backrooms, which had the Oshkosh tie with the photo taken. And so we got the Wisconsin box office revenue there for sure. Why do you think those horror films resonated so well with audiences?
Yeah, there's such interesting cases. And I don't know that we can fully ascertain exactly why these hit so hard, but I'm going to try to engage in a little bit of speculation about that. I think Obsession in particular is just such a new approach to the genre. It really combines this wonderfully absurdist humor with really kind of deep fright. And it's not afraid to kind of go for the jugular, right? It's not a safe horror movie. It's actually a really, really deeply upsetting horror movie. Same with Backrooms. I think they're injecting a little bit of youth into the genre in a way that's really, really welcome. I also think we see something with those two movies and with the Philippou Brothers movies, the Australian YouTuber duo who made Bring Her Back and Talk to Me, this migration of young people who learn how to create media via free tools or very low-cost tools, distribute them through YouTube. So they have this kind of training in media that appeals to people of their generation. When they make that transition to the big screen, they're speaking the language of young people in a way that perhaps older filmmakers who trained more in typical industrial type programs, maybe they don't quite have access to that same kind of communication that these younger horror directors have. I think it's absolutely fascinating. I kind of can't wait to see what happens next with this.
It reminds me a little bit, I was part of the Blair Witch Project movement era, you know?
Me too, Kate.
And that too was pretty, you know, there was a switch, there was a change in that type of filmmaking, and there were lines around movie theaters. And there may be a hint of a parallel there.
I think that is such a great observation. And I just think you're completely correct. And when we think about Blair Witch Project, you know, that's at the turn of the millennium. We can think about things like premillennial anxiety, but we can also think about the turn of the digital there, right? This is really as we're becoming becoming more of a digitally and internet-focused society, right? I think we can point to a lot of the success of Blair Witch alongside that particular historical moment. Well, at the same time, now we're at the cusp of an AI-driven society, if we haven't already, you know, jumped over that cliff without looking in any direction before we do. And I think maybe these movies are speaking to that, that we've crossed into a different way of interacting with others, a different way that society functions. And horror is always speaking to these underlying anxieties. So I really think it's no accident that there's a sort of sea change at these two moments of a massive digital revolution, and horror can speak to it, right? In this really, really deep and profound way that other genres aren't necessarily able to do.
And it's a conversation starter. It stays with you. You mentioned at the outset about how young people really want to have the experience with each other in their presence and be able to go to movies together. Is there any at all momentum for movie theaters where one strong film might make, you know, moviegoers more likely to come back to the theater to see another movie? Is there any of that momentum, or do you think it's more about the strength of the emotional having someone with you and being able to capture that moment as something to do on a Friday?
Oh, totally. I mean, I totally think it's both, right? You go see something like Obsession, and you see a preview for some other film coming out. There wasn't a preview for this when I saw Obsession, but it's a film I'm really obsessed with, and I just really want everybody to see when it gets a wide release next month. This film, It Ends, which is another Gen Z horror movie that I think is absolutely brilliant, just absolutely stunningly great. Also made for very, very little money. Also made by a first-time director. You go see something like Obsession with your buddies, you have a great time, and you remember the deep pleasure, the deep excitement of getting to be in that theater together, talking about it afterwards, right? The conversations you have when you're leaving the movie theater, they're so precious, right? They don't happen anywhere else. But then you see a preview for a film that's like, hey, that kind of looks like the one we just watched. We could replicate this experience once again. So I really think it's a combination of both of those factors. And theaters having the kind of canniness, especially independent theaters, to show previews for films that might really resonate with the audience that's seeing that film in particular that evening.
Jocelyn, thanks for the conversation. Thank you so much for joining us.
It was a delight. Thank you so much.
Jocelyn Sapaniak-Galise is Associate Professor and Director of Film Studies at UW-Milwaukee. She was with us to share why some of the year's biggest films have been box office successes for Wisconsin movie theaters. Earlier, we heard from Milwaukee Film Executive Director Susan Kearns about attendance turnout at her nonprofit organization's two theaters.